you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Coal Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, gogginkohl.com. Hey, by the way, still a lot of football ahead, tailgating parties, viewing parties, whatever the case may be. Here's the thing. If you put down some drinks, then put down your keys. Remember, fans don't let fans drive drunk. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Just a moment, we'll visit with Barton Simmons, CBSSports.com. He's a national writer there, and he's director of scouting with 24/7 Sports. But going into the break, I told you the fact that, you know, early last hour, the SEC responds finally, and they suspend wide receiver Juwan Jennings for the first half of Tennessee's bowl game, right? Well, we also hear from the director of athletics from Tennessee, Philip Fulmer, and kind of like what I expected. Because honestly, if they thought otherwise, then they would have been making an announcement earlier than the week instead of waiting for the SEC to make theirs today. This is Philip Fulmer's statement. Commissioner Sankey shared his perspective on the actions in question. We had a long conversation about the matter, and we will honor the suspension. Juwan has been nothing but outstanding for our team and program this entire season. Well, like he has a choice about honoring the suspension, really? My guess is, reading through these words, tell me that he totally disagrees with the decision, but they have no choice but to set Juwan Jennings in that first half as far as Tennessee's bowl game is concerned. I'll get our next guest and get his thoughts about this. Right now, Barton Simmons joining us. Barton, so last hour, the SEC suspends Juwan Jennings for the actions at the end of the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game. He gets suspended for the first half in the bowl game. And now Tennessee has responded, and we move on. But your thoughts about, first of all, the suspension and how the SEC and Tennessee has responded to it?
You know, I think I'm frankly okay with all of it. I think it's the right thing to suspend them. I thought it was a pretty egregious move, and you can sort of spin it however you please, but you know, that wasn't a good look. But guys make mistakes, and that means he's a bad kid. But that said, you know, I'm also okay with Tennessee supporting him. I mean, that's kind of their job, is to support their players. You know, if Juwan has contended and said that it was unintentional or misinterpreted or whatever you want to call it, I'm okay with Tennessee standing behind their guy as well. So, you know, I think the some sort of disciplinary action was appropriate, you know, not shocked and not even really bothered too much by Tennessee coming to his defense.
See, I'm different, and maybe it's because I worked in athletics. You can come to his defense, but at the same time, those words tell me you condone his behavior. And that's where I have a problem, because to me, a statement along the lines, you know, you can say all you want about him being great, that's fine. You include that in your comments and your quote. But along the lines, you also got to say these are teaching moments, and Juwan will learn from this moving on. Yeah, something along those lines. But that statement to me tells me we totally disagree with what the SEC has done, but we'll honor it and we'll move on. And to me, you're allowing and sending a statement saying basically, you know, we disagree. We think it was fine for Juwan Jennings to respond the way he did in the game. But hey, that's our hands are tied in this situation. And I think that's a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly get that perspective. And I think that that's fair. You know, again, I think I always come at these from the approach of, you know, we don't really know what those conversations are. I haven't heard what Juwan's quotes side of the story is, so to speak. And without some of that context, you know, I'm always a little hesitant to just sort of condone Tennessee's approach to it. But again, from the SEC's perspective, I think that was the appropriate thing to do to discipline Juwan. And Tennessee is it's kind of the way that, they've been the biggest supporters, and Jeremy Pruitt has been as outwardly outspoken in how much he loves Juwan throughout the season. So not terribly surprised that they are taking the side in this one as well.
All right, so last night we got our next-to-last rankings from the College Football Playoff Committee. Can I just throw it out there? I think it's been too easy on this committee. I think they've been enjoying their steak and lobster too much in these deliberations. I want chaos. I want Ohio State to lose. I want LSU to lose. I want Clemson to lose. I want this to be where all of a sudden, instead of worrying about five or six teams, they've got to worry about eight or nine teams and really make it difficult, because no matter what they do at that point, there's going to be not just one or two disappointed teams. There'll probably be almost a handful of disappointed teams. That's what I want to happen over the weekend.
Yeah, no, I think they the committee caught a break last weekend when Alabama lost. I was really going to be fascinated to see how the committee was going to handle a one-loss Alabama, only loss being to the number two team in the country, and yet non-division champ, hadn't played anyone in the non-conference, hadn't really played anyone in conference to speak of. Without the star player, comparing that resume and that clearly really strong opinion of Alabama with a conference champion, one loss out of the Big 12 or Pac-12, that was going to be a defining moment for the playoff committee. That was going to be a decision and a spot that the committee had yet to be in terms of truly defining the value of a conference championship. So I'm with you in the sense, just the intrigue of it, the debate that was going to spur. But there's also part of me that does like this thing to end clean, so we really truly know who the best team in the country is and who is the most deserving team to get in. There's an element of that at play that I'm inclined to lean towards as well, because ultimately, I like knowing who the best team in college football is.
I look at the top four right now, and let's just say Clemson holds serve, they win the ACC, but here's the other part. Georgia beats LSU. So, and then also, let's throw into that mix as well, Ohio State loses for the first time. If Ohio State and LSU both lose, and if they lose like close games per se, only thing I think we will see changed is just the order of finish. I don't think we see a change as far as the top four, because with Ohio State suffering their first loss, with LSU suffering their first loss, you can look at the resumes of Utah, Oklahoma, Baylor, whatever the case may be. I still don't think it matches what LSU and Ohio State's accomplished this year.
Yeah. I think that I agree. LSU's in regardless and Ohio State's in regardless. So let's just say those two lose. Then Georgia would certainly be in. So there's your three. I think Clemson is probably in regardless as well. It's hard to even envision Clemson losing to Virginia. But if it did, I guess there's where you start to see the chaos you're talking about and what would the committee do, because then you're going to have a one-loss conference champion out of the Big 12 at least, and perhaps out of the Pac-12 as well. And so We've really thought for a long time that these top three teams, and still do, are a tier above, clearly a tier above. And so this tier above, when it gets muddied by a failure to win a conference championship, and there's a one-loss team that's got a conference championship on his resume, again, that puts the committee quite in a pickle. So I think all three of the top three are in with a loss. And yet, if all three lose, then I guess that changes the dynamic a little bit and makes it an even trickier situation to judge and navigate.
See, I'm not going to give you Clemson. To me, Clemson reminds me so much of Florida State in 2014. You know, the committee was
The
committee was just waiting for Jameis Winston and Florida State to lose to bump them out of the because here's the thing, Clemson, with the fact that the reigning national champs, you know, they're in there. And I know this really goes down that path where Dabo Swinney has been preaching in all this time, too.
It kind of plays. Talking to you, Johnny. Talking to me.
I think
Clemson has been totally dominant ever since that North Carolina game. And that North Carolina game was that was a season ago.
But who have they? I mean, Bama was dominating too in 10 of their 12 games. The only two they were not.
But they weren't even dominating to the degree that Clemson has been. Clemson hasn't been within 35 points since September. The defense hasn't even been tested. They are playing right now better than anyone in the country. And if you look at that Florida State team, and because I made the same comparison very early in the season. But if you look at that Florida State team, it messed around with opponents all year long. Clemson stopped that nonsense in week four.
But who did they play?
They played everyone that the schedule presented to them.
I know, tell me how they did against the ranked. Oh, you can't tell me about that because they don't have one.
but Clemson's players can only play who's put in front of them, and we can't sit here and crown teams based on what the schedule presented to them, because these guys can't help what the schedule presented to them. We shouldn't be creating playoffs based on athletic directors. We should be creating playoffs based on the guys on the field. And all Clemson's done, and it's not as if they've been in, Trevor Lawrence in the fourth quarter just trying to make things look good. I mean, Wake Forest was a top 25 team when Clemson played them. And Clemson was like a 35-point favorite and covered. So I think
– Wake Forest was not a top 25 team when they played, and they played them late, and Wake Forest was already going into their woes of having a terrible second half of the season.
Well, they were a two-loss team when Clemson played them? If they weren't in the top 25 at that point, they had been in the previous week. And so – this is, I think, the idea that Clemson, I mean, they're still playing a Power 5 schedule. They're still, and not only they're winning, but they are dominating on both sides of the ball, and their whole starting unit is out well before the fourth quarter. So I just think it's hard to penalize a group of players for not having a strong conference. They didn't choose this schedule. I mean, they didn't choose this conference. They played a quality non-conference opponent in Texas A&M. Like, I don't know what else you want Clemson to do. And so I think that Clemson, right, like, they're my pick to win the national championship. I think they're playing as well as anyone in the country, and I think they win the national championship as of right now.
I mean, I look at the fact that Clemson, you look at Texas A&M, a Clemson win by two touchdowns. This is also a game where A&M played horribly in the first three quarters, and yet they only still win by two touchdowns in that one. And then we talk about the North Carolina game, where North Carolina decides to go for two instead of kicking the extra point and with a minute to go, and that game maybe goes into overtime at that point. We don't know how it plays out. I'm just saying that, maybe it's fair or not, but you look at Clemson and you look at, and this is a message that we're starting to see that trend now as far as future scheduling, like into the next decade, where these teams are getting a couple of in their non-conference, a couple of Power 5 conference teams on that schedule. But the bottom line is, there's too many teams that have been penalized about it too. You can say, well, they took care of business as far as what's on their schedule, but their schedule, the ACC is weak. The ACC is very weak this year. You got a lot of okay teams. There's no great teams. Clemson has not been challenged in three seasons now in the ACC.
But I know, but that's not Clemson's fault. Clemson, again, they scheduled Texas A&M. They have South Carolina on the schedule. And they blew those teams out. And you say that
they didn't know they didn't blow A&M out. They blowed South Carolina, but A&M was a
21-point game and Texas A&M scored in with 10 seconds left. I mean, that's a blowout. They beat them by 20. It was never close. It was never in doubt.
Right.
Alabama beat Texas A&M by 19 points. I mean, what's, you know, so I think, and again, look, the if we're talking and it's September 30th right now, then all of what you're saying is valid, because North Carolina is a game that that was a real tar on the resume, because when you compare Clemson to everyone else, all the Clemson being outside the top four, that was all valid at that point, because, you know, they were not playing as well as the other teams in the country. But you have, I think you have to evaluate teams in present tense and what a team has become. And since that day, since September 28th, they haven't been within 35 points of any opponent. And it's not like they're playing a bunch of bums. You know, they're playing teams that are they're playing bowl football teams.
Well,
so I think, like, Dabo Swinney is, I mean, he's trying to motivate this team by screaming from the mountaintops, and I'm trying to diffuse that, because I believe in this Clemson team, and they've been playing as well as anyone in the country. Dabo's going to clip this off and give it to his
team. Well, you know, but here's the thing, and this is where the national media is sick of it too, and I'm sick of it. This is where Dabo Swinney has nothing else. He has nothing else as far as a motivational factor, as far as his team, so he has to play, oh, we're the Davids again. We're the Davids versus the Goliaths. Nobody is buying into that, except that's, you know, he's got the
–
I'm not buying into him being a Dave. My thing is, you look at Ohio State.
But you're buying into them not being as good as the other top teams.
I'm just saying, look, you're in this situation fine and dandy, but you got to continue taking care of business, because you look at the teams who like Ohio State. Number one, they're playing number eight. Number two, LSU's playing number four, LSU. Number five, Utah is playing number 13, Oregon. Number six, Oklahoma is playing number seven, Baylor. And then we get Clemson. Oh, at least they're playing a ranked team, but you have to go into the teens? No, you have to go, oh, there they are, number 23rd ranked Virginia. And see, that's where the problem is.
Well,
I'm just saying right now, they better not lose Saturday.
Well, you could be right. I think that what they've done is plenty to get in, because, again, when you look at the way they've been handling their business, the way they've been beating teams, this isn't 2014 Florida State. I mean, that team was. I just pulled up their schedule as I'm sitting here talking to you. Like they that was a 24-19 win over Florida, 20-17 over unranked Boston College, 30-26 over unranked Miami, 34-20 over unranked Virginia. Like they were messing around with you. This Clemson team hasn't even sniffed a close game, and we're talking about teams that aren't juggernauts. I'll grant you that. They're not top 25 teams, but they're still bowl teams. They're still teams that get seven wins, and Clemson is absolutely pounding them.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the way you win, the way you navigate the schedule that you have no control over, I think is of note. And again, it's not as if we can penalize, or I don't think we should penalize them, as if this is Baylor with scheduling UTSA and Rice in the non-conference. It's A&M and South Carolina are on the non-conference schedule for Clemson. I don't know what more we can ask of this team from a scheduling perspective other than just go take care of what you're doing on the schedule.
And they'll know this coming before they kick off on Saturday, but if Utah takes care of business on Friday night over Oregon, if you're Clemson, you better win your game, especially if Georgia has knocked off LSU. Because if those two things happen, Utah wins and Georgia beats LSU in a close game, Clemson with a loss, I think they are the fifth team and the first team out.
That is not a gamble I would take if I'm Clemson to lose in that conference championship with a Utah win, and certainly when you add in a Georgia win as well. I'm with you on that. There are circumstances for sure that really compromise their standing. I think if chalk plays out, Clemson loses, Clemson's probably still in. But all that said, you know, we're spending a lot of time talking about a scenario that is incredibly unlikely. I think that Clemson more than likely wins another game by 35 plus.
Time. Yeah, if it had been Virginia, I would feel much better about the team opposing Clemson if it was Virginia Tech and their chances. I don't like Virginia's chances at all against Clemson, so I think none of this really is going to matter anyway. Virginia Tech, to me, was the team that was best suited to give Clemson a challenge. And unfortunately for Virginia Tech, they lost on Friday against Virginia, and so we're not going to have that conversation.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think Virginia's a really good team, but I think that there are some qualities, some traits, characteristics you've got to have to beat this Clemson team. And one of those is some offensive versatility, and I just don't think Virginia has that.
We should have a three-way conversation sometimes. You, Barrett Salee, and myself. We'll see how that plays out.
there's some varying opinions in that group.
I totally agree with that. Hey, before we let you go, first of all, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Let our listeners know again the different ways to keep up with your coverage.
Sure. 24/7 sports, CBSSports.com, the Cover 3 podcast, and at Barton Simmons on Twitter are the best places to find me.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. Barton, have a great rest of the week, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Okay, buddy. See ya.
Thank you. Barton Simmons, once again, national writer with CBSSports.com, also director of scouting with 24/7 Sports as well. Open segment if you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. That's 844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. It is bumper to bumper out here now, especially on the South Loop, the West Loop, just scrambling, trying to get out of the downtown area. 65 North, it's between OHB and Vietnam Vets, another crash. This wreck with injury, South Nashville, tying up the 5800 block of Nolensville Pike. Also a wreck with injuries, 4000 block of Marydale Drive. The fire department just got dispatched to that location. Harding Place at Trousdale Drive was tied up due to a wreck, and a wreck in Hermitage, 4000 block of Dotson Chapel. Hey, get the lowest prices on most to be airline tickets. Smart fares save you 70% off. Call 1-800.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kalutis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com. My friend Bill Kalutis and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers, direct mail. We've got, at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. You can reach us at print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. This afternoon, a sunny sky, high 58. Mainly clear tonight, low 34. Turns cloudy Thursday, high 60. Clouds and in spots of shower for Friday, high 54. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Still coming up this hour, Eric Bacharach, the Titans beat writer with the Tennessean, and just after 6, Ryan Fowler, talk show host in Tuscaloosa with Tide 100.9 FM. You know, going back to the conversation, Jay, I had with Barton Simmons with CBSSports.com, also with 24/7 Sports. You can just see, like, well, why are you penalizing a Clemson team and all that? It's like, kind of like that same conversation we've had with, you know, Alabama over the years. You know, Alabama has never missed until this year the playoff. And but you look at Clemson, you know, you go, well, they're only playing the teams ahead of them. It's not their fault that the ACC stinks. Well, yeah. You know, how about this? This is where – and this isn't this wasn't something that's just happened. You know, we go back to the schedule last year. Clemson wasn't challenged in the last 8 games of last year because they weren't playing anybody. Same thing applied to this year. The only ranked team that they faced until this Saturday, and it's not because, you know, and you can't say, well, some of these teams like Wake Forest, well, they were good early, not so much at the end. Texas A&M in week 2, they were a top 15 team. And, and there was an A&M team that, I mean, Kellen Mond, missed open wide receivers. I mean, we're talking about that game could have played out entirely differently. Simple passes that he just overthrew. He was totally just like he got out of the wrong side of the bed or something because he was just totally off his mark, wasn't following through right. But, you know, the bottom line is that now that you're in this situation, if you're Clemson and you've got 2 teams ahead of you, only 1 behind you right now in the playoff, you better win, especially if Utah beats Oregon on Friday night. Here's a couple of things that work. These are humans that are deciding this, right? Utah's been pretty dominating themselves as well. Yep. And the fact that the Pac-12 hasn't gotten a lot of love in recent years as far as this committee anyway. You know, they're usually when we talk about before the season begins, okay, obviously there's going to be already 1 team left out as far as the 4 teams, as far as Power 5 conferences, because 5 Power 5 conferences, only 4 spots. And then when you get what we had 2 years ago, where 2 teams from the same conference with Georgia and Alabama, that means 2 leagues got left out. Or if you throw in a mix like a Notre Dame, like we got last year, once again, 2 Power 5 conferences not represented. And so because of that, you better not give the committee a reason to put a conference champion like Utah, if they do indeed take care of business against Oregon, you better not give them a reason to debate whether a 1-loss Clemson team that lost in the ACC title game to Virginia or a Utah team that finished strong, their only loss was to a ranked USC team. You see where I'm going there?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, with the way Clemson's been playing, if they have a close matchup with Virginia and end up losing, say, about a field goal or something.
They can't lose close. They can't lose, period.
I know, they can't lose at all. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they can't. Forget about close or a touchdown or whatever. They can't lose.
If they somehow win on a close game, but then Utah wears out. Say they beat Oregon by 3 touchdowns.
It doesn't matter. If Clemson wins, they're in anyway. They're undefeated. So true. Utah's already lost. So if you're the top 3 teams that are unbeaten, if you win, you're in. So if you're Ohio State, LSU, or Clemson, as long as you win, you're in. Simple as that. You could win by 1 point. You could have 8 turnovers. As long as you still win, you're in if you're one of those 3 teams because you haven't lost all year.
Right.
And you're a Power 5 conference team, and you're the conference champion. You're not being left out. But if you're Clemson and you lose, whether it's close or not, I think you're done. Especially if it's Utah winning the Pac-12 title against Oregon. You can also maybe see the scenario where even Oklahoma, with 2 wins over Baylor in the last few weeks, and if you're an Oklahoma team that's only lost once all year, you could even see where maybe Oklahoma gets in that conversation. But I think if it's Clemson losing and Utah wins, I think the Big 12 will be the disappointed conference this year.
Yeah, because
along with obviously the ACC, because look, I think Georgia if LSU loses to Georgia, I still think LSU is in just because of their resume this year. Nobody can claim, and you go, well, it didn't matter because the committee rankings weren't out. But at the time when LSU played them, no team can claim four wins against top 10 teams this year.
Right.
And if your only loss was to a number four Georgia, especially if it's close, I don't
on a neutral site?
I don't think you can leave LSU out. Well, you say it's neutral, but
it's only an hour.
It's 70 miles down the road from Athens.
That's not much of a neutral site.
Yeah, I think.
Well, it's kind of like saying Baton Rouge to New Orleans is not a very neutral site either.
Well, I would say,
a neutral site.
You know, I go back to though when LSU played Alabama in that Sugar Bowl after they had saw each other earlier in the year in Tuscaloosa when LSU wins in overtime, and then they had the rematch in the BCS title game. Although it was a hour drive from Baton Rouge, I still thought Alabama was well represented in that stadium.
Oh, they were.
And especially when they took control early on, and LSU couldn't even manage to get past midfield until the second half. Yeah, so, all right, coming up, a chance to talk some Tennessee Titans. They've got big fish to fry coming up in these last four games, starting with Oakland coming up on Sunday. Eric Bacharach, he'll be joining us. He's the Titans beat writer for the Tennessee. And don't forget tonight, Memphis Grizzlies basketball coming your way. 6:30 for the pregame with tip just after 7. This segment brought to you by our good friends with Lanham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. Whether you're talking about heating concerns this time of year, or it could be trying to find ways to keep cool during the hot summer days, from heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service and Rude HVAC equipment with a system that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business, and they do it while providing reliable and honest service throughout Middle Tennessee. And here's the other part, too. They do it with the name brands like Rude you've come to trust. Look, I should know, I have a new Rude unit in my house. Plus, I've been a loyal customer of Lanham's AC Service now going almost on a decade now. And here's the thing, too, remember, financing is available, and they do service and repair all brands. So call today to schedule a service or maintenance call. Let them know your friends here at Nashville Sports Radio sent you. The number, 615-969-9065. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll be glad you did, and the money you'll save, you'll certainly be glad you're making the call. Give them a chance to show you what I'm talking about. The number again, 615-969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
Well, good evening. We still see quite a bit of traffic flow right now on 65 southbound, trying to get past Wedgewood all the way down into Brentwood. There is a wreck at Lebanon Pike near Briley Parkway that just occurred. You still have to fight your way up through Madison right now on 65 northbound. That wreck didn't help between OHB and Vietnam Vet. Still heavy, but moving on 40 east past the airport back out to Mount Juliet. Hey, get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. SmartFare save you 70% off. Call now 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to a half million $1 million. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you will certainly send any text about your supervisor to your supervisor.
What's with Janet's bangs? Did she lose a bet with a weed whacker? LOL. And sent. Wait, no.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Janet, I think my phone was hacked or something.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Geigen Cole Hall Studios. This segment brought to you by our friends with Harding Pharmacy, located in Southeast Nashville, a full-service pharmacy ready to take care of your needs. And hey, don't forget, they offer free delivery as well. Harding Pharmacy in Southeast Nashville. Chance to talk a little Tennessee Titans. Eric Bacharach, the Titans beat writer with the Tennessee, and joining us now. Eric, thank you as always. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend, and welcome back to the show.
You too, Johnny. Thanks for having me back on.
You know, it's interesting. I was on earlier this week with Scott Farrell on the Bench on CBS Sports Radio from a national standpoint, and they're looking at the Titans, and everybody is now on the Titans bandwagon with these four games to go. And it's like, oh, Oakland, no big deal. This to me, and I thought this for the last couple of months, if the Titans found themselves in a position where they were battling either the Colts or the Texans in the month of December, this is the game that means so much. It certainly could come down to, from a tiebreaker standpoint with conference record, but it's just a dangerous game when you're having to travel from one end of the country to the other. Plus, Oakland plays really good football at home. They're 4-1 this year.
You're right, Johnny. They're 4-1. You know, they're playing better at home this season, and obviously they've had a couple of really bad games the past couple of weeks, but both those games are on the road, and you're right, it's a long trip, and for that reason, you know, this is a game that they can't take it lightly, the Titans. And as you mentioned, you know, as far as tiebreakers and in all the scenarios go, it's you know, really, really important. You know, if you lose the Texans game the following week, you know, the silver lining there is that, you know, you've got at least one more game against them to sort of make up some ground. You don't have that opportunity with the Raiders. And it's a game that if you're looking to win the wild card, if you lose this game, the Raiders take advantage there. They leapfrog you. They have the same record, but they have the head-to-head advantage. And it's a game that the Titans really have to have, you know, for as well as everything's gone the past few weeks. You know, the script could really do a 180 here if they don't get this game. But, you know, the way things are going, I think it's reasonable to be optimistic, even though the Raiders are 4-1 in Oakland.
I mean, it comes down to this, too. When you look at the opportunity the Titans will have, same thing you can argue as far as Houston as well, knowing that they face off against each other twice coming up in the next three games after this weekend. But the problem is Houston has a game edge. And if you just assume that, say, the two teams split the series, right? So what happens in these other two games? That's why, you know, I'll just throw it out there. But knowing that you're in the situation that the Titans find themselves in, being a game behind Houston, knowing what we just discussed as far as tiebreakers, to me, this is a must-win game. You can't lose this, especially knowing that Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints are coming to town on December 22nd.
I agree. You know, I think they've got to win this game. I think maybe the one game that you could maybe afford to lose on the schedule, remaining schedule, would be the Saints game, just because it's not a conference game. It doesn't have, you know, the wild card implication that this one does. They really need to win this game, you know, for any shot at the wild card. If you lose this game, you know, it's like you're behind the Raiders squarely. You know, you can't get the tiebreaker edge against them after losing head-to-head. So you have the same record as them. You know, the Steelers are at the Cardinals this week. And they're 7-5 as well with a pretty favorable schedule remaining, certainly better than the Titans. You know, they've got the Cardinals this week. Then they have the Bills, which is a tough game. But then they have the Jets, and then they finish their season with the Ravens, which, you know, in Week 17, you know, the Ravens by that point could have everything locked up. They could be locked into the 1 seed, the 2 seed. They might not be playing for anything in Week 17. So, you know, the Steelers might not see Lamar Jackson that week, depending on how things play out. So, you know, just when you consider all those factors, to me, this is very much a must win. And again, for how well everything's gone the past 3 weeks for the Titans, you know, this is really as important a game as any, because, you know, as I said before, there's no mulligan. If you lose this game, you know, your fate, as far as the wild card goes, is no longer in your hands. And right now it's still not, because the Steelers have the edge when it comes to conference record over the Titans, which is why right now the Steelers are the 6th seed and the Titans are the 7. But, you know, you would think that the Steelers could trip up along the way, perhaps, with these remaining 4 games. If you lose this one, you really put yourself in a bad spot for the wild card, and then you put yourself in a spot where you almost have to sweep the Texans for any shot at the division. So it's going to be tough, but, you know, this absolutely, to me, I agree, is a must-win type of game.
I mean, because the Titans are not seeing the Steelers, and the Steelers have an advantage as far as their conference record. Pittsburgh's 6-3, so they got a game edge over the Titans, and from that standpoint, and then with Oakland, with the Titans, it comes down to, it could be between Oakland and Tennessee, and Oakland would then have an advantage if they win this game, have an advantage from that standpoint. To me, this is just as important, if not more so, than, you know, at least splitting with Houston. This is, I guess, go back to the fact that you can ill afford, if you're the Titans, great what you've been able to do to this point to put yourself back in this situation with 3 wins, including 5 out of the last 6. But it just, as where everybody's so, you know, talking so favorably about this team, especially what they've been able to do in their last 3 games, it gets thrown back out the window if the Titans start heading back in the other direction.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with that. And obviously, at this time of the year, every game is important, but it's kind of just been funny the way the schedule has lined up for the Titans, where really it's all there in front of them, and it's all in their hands as far as who they're playing. You know, they get the team that they're chasing in the division twice. They get the wild card team that's kind of nipping at their heels right this week. You know, they got the Colts last week, and as you mentioned, they don't play the Steelers, which, you know, means that they're going to have to root for them to lose at some point if they want the wild card. So that's still in play. But, yeah, I mean, if you're the Titans, it's all still there in front of you. Oakland's good at home. So, I think this is a game that, you know, might be sort of easy to overlook, especially with the Texans coming to town next week and then the Saints after that. You know, this is a game that, you know, if you're a fan, you might overlook and might take lightly. But the Titans certainly can't do that just because of really the heavy implications of the result of this game as far as, you know, their playoff chances go. If they lose, you know, they're in a really tough spot for both the division and the wild card.
Well, and the other part, too, is you start thinking about the last 3 years. You know, 2016 and 17, the Titans blew, you know, they had chances and controlled the quote-unquote AFC South and blew those opportunities to host playoff games. And then last year, with a chance to make the playoffs in the final week, blew that. So all of a sudden, if you lose against Oakland, for everybody that's been a part of the last 3 seasons, in the back of your mind, all of a sudden you start seeing flashbacks to the last 3 years.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And, you know, listen, I'm not sure that 9-7 like last year, I don't know if that gets you in. It'll be interesting to see how things play out. You know, and again, those Texan games are important, and if you sweep those 2 games, you're in really good shape. But this is one where you just, as I said before, you just don't have a mulligan, you know, with the Raiders. You can't really afford to give them the upper hand in this situation, because if you do, there's no catching them as far as head-to-head records go. And if you finish with the same record as them, they get the spot. Because for me right now, you know, I think it's fair to assume that the Bills have that 5th wild card, or excuse me, the fifth seed and the first wild card spot in the AFC locked up.
Well, don't assume it's the Bills. Remember, they're only a game back of the Patriots now. It could be the Patriots that we're talking about being a wild card team.
Sure. Point being, I think the AFC East has that spot at this point. You know, I don't think the Titans or the Steelers or the Raiders or any of the other teams in the mix can really, you know, catch them at this point. I think the fifth seed in the AFC, the first wild card spot, is pretty much off the table. So this is the last available spot if you're not going to win the division. So, you know, again, it's all there in front of the Titans, and the way they're playing, you've got every reason to be optimistic and every reason to think they're capable of going into Oakland and knocking off a team that struggled. But again, the long trip, it's a team that in Oakland that's played really well at home this season. And by the way, you know, they're in a similar position where they can't afford to lose this game. If they lose this game, you know, their season is pretty much over. This is, for them, it's as must win as it gets. You know, because they don't have the luxury of you know, playing the team they're chasing in the division twice more like the Titans do. So for them, this really is their last shot. So, you know, you could expect a really back against the wall type of effort from them. And you know, I would expect, you know, a really gritty atmosphere as such as the second to last game in that stadium. And, you know, I think it'll be a hostile environment. And, you know, it certainly won't be easy for the Titans, and they have to take it. They certainly can't afford to take it lightly.
And the other part, too, that if you're the Titans and you lose in Indianapolis this week, they're at Tampa Bay. My assumption is they're going to take care of business on the road against the Bucs. Then all of a sudden, Indianapolis then would have the same record of the Titans. Both have split. And then you get into tiebreakers if all of a sudden
right.
The Colts are in that situation. Before we let you go, there was one other stat that really showed up for me this week and looking ahead to this matchup on Sunday. And it's I read it, and I read it again, and it's like it's just hard to imagine that this is the case. But Derrick Henry, a chance to make NFL history. First of all, he's closing in on the NFL leading rushers as far as total yards. He's only trailing Nick Chubb from Cleveland by 35, and right between both of them is Christian McCaffrey from Carolina. But Derrick Henry, you know, he's had three straight games of 145 yards or more plus one rushing touchdown. Nobody has ever done it four straight games. And he has that opportunity coming up against this Oakland Raiders defense that enters this ball game ranked 12th in the NFL.
Yeah, and if you're the Titans, he's got to get it. You know, he's got to get a fourth straight game of that just because, you know, when this offense is at its best, as it has been the past few weeks, it goes through Derrick Henry. He's got to get the ball a certain amount of times. He's got to, you know, sort of be, you know, the focal point of the offense, and everything kind of stems from that. We've seen, you know, Ryan Tannehill play super efficiently, super effectively, but, you know, it's not like he's throwing 40 passes a game. He's really only throwing around 20, and he's making the most of all of them. And, you know, I think the threat of Derrick Henry, you know, whether it's play action or just running with him in general, you know, I think so much comes from that. And if you're the Titans, you got to keep going to him as they had, which is sort of independent of game situations. You know, I go back to the Chiefs game in Week 10, you know, when the Titans were trailing by 9 points in the fourth quarter. They had a 10-play drive where they scored a touchdown, and that included spin Derrick Henry handoff. So, you know, they've really, since that Carolina game where they only ran Henry twice in the first half, they've really kind of gotten it in their heads. You know, something that fans have been screaming all season, which is run Henry no matter the situation, because he's your best playmaker, and it's obviously worked to great effect so far. So they got to keep doing that. That's really been you know, the reason for this drastic turnaround, is as well as Ryan Tannehill is playing, and as much as credit as he deserves, it all starts with Derrick Henry, and they've got to keep going to him.
Hey, by the way, the whole thing about Buffalo and New England, reason I'm throwing that out there, I know what a huge following of Buffalo Bill fans that are now living here in Nashville, Middle Tennessee. So I know.
I know.
So I had, well, you know, plus, you know, 20 years later, they're still talking about the Music City Miracle. So you got to give the dog a bone every once in a while.
Sure, absolutely. And it's kind of wild that that's coming up, by the way. The 20th anniversary is just in a few weeks here.
Just around the corner. All right, before we let you go, Eric, remind everybody again the ways to keep up with all your coverage of the Titans.
Sure. If you go to Twitter, you can follow me at Eric Bachrach. If you go online to Tennessean.com, Nashville.com/sports/Titans. You can find all my stuff there.
Hey, be safe in your travels. We'll talk soon. Thank you again, Eric.
Sounds good. Thanks, Johnny.
All right, buddy. Eric Bacharach with the Tennessee. And this segment brought to you by our friends with Harding Pharmacy. You know, here's the thing. In a world of corporate giants, it's nice to know there's a locally owned professional pharmacy that's here to take care of you and your family. Nice folks there, too. Harding Pharmacy in Southeast Nashville. They're a full-service pharmacy where their employees are dedicated to meeting the individual needs of you, their customers, and their families as well. And they do it with the highest level of service. Plus, they have a variety of products and services to meet all of your health care needs. So have your prescriptions transferred or your next one filled at Harding Pharmacy, where they also offer free delivery in the area. Harding Pharmacy, your fast and friendly family pharmacy, easy to find, located at 4120 Nolensville Pike, is just south of Harding Place, right next to the post office. Let them know your friends here at Nashville Sports Radio sent you. That's Harding Pharmacy in Southeast Nashville.
Well, good evening. We still see quite a bit of traffic flow right now on 65 southbound, trying to get past Wedgewood all the way down into Brentwood. There is a wreck at Lebanon Pike near Briley Parkway that just occurred. You still have to fight your way up through Madison right now on 65 northbound. That wreck didn't help between OHB and Vietnam Vet. Still heavy, but moving on 40 east past the airport back out to Mount Juliet. Hey, get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. SmartFare save you 70% off. Call now, 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Ensworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade, co-educational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at ensworth.com to learn more.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Oh, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Happy holidays, honey.
Ooh, what is it?
Just open it.
Is it a holiday luck instant game?
I don't know.
It sounds like, is that a $20,000 holiday cheer game? Hold up. You didn't. No. Do I hear a Merry Money and a Holiday Gifts instant game? All instant games.
Do you love it?
Best presents ever!
Make every gift a little brighter with Holiday Instant Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing holidays celebrating fun. Please play responsibly.
Winter's coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Coming this Christmas, a man.
Hey, Bill King here.
His listeners.
Robin the 210.
And Biscuits.
I don't know if we realize how fortunate we are to have Music City, Todd. That is a world-class facility.
Winter is coming.
Commitmas 2019. Wednesday, December 18th at Barline in the Omni Nashville Hotel. 5th Avenue South, downtown Nashville.
We appreciate you. Appreciate WNSR.
Join the Bill King Show and celebrate National Signing Day.
Oh, my God. Bill King just read my tweet.
For more info and Commitmas gear, log on to WNSR.com and get your special Commitmas rate at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Commitmas 2019 from the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show. And WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Winter is coming!
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. So back in the 4 o'clock hour, just as we began our show, the SEC office sends out an announcement that Juwan Jennings, wide receiver with Tennessee, because of the actions there late against Vanderbilt, the stepping on the Vanderbilt player's face, he'll be missing the first half of Tennessee's bowl game, right? And so then about 20 minutes later, the director of athletics over at Tennessee, one Philip Fulmer, said that Commissioner Sankey shared his perspective on the actions in question. We had a long conversation about the matter, and we will honor the suspension. Juwan has been nothing but outstanding for our team and program this entire season. I mean, what are they going to do? Say, oh, well, we're not going to play in a bowl game now. We're going to take our football and go home. Stop with that. Very fortunate that he's even being able to play in the second half, because honestly, if the SEC had ruled that he suspended, period, I would not have been like shocked or disappointed with that announcement. That's how bad I thought the decision that Juwan Jennings made at the end of that game, that's how bad I thought it was. 2 hours in, another hour to go, you're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.